With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Charles Barkley in a pickup game.
We'll take Barkley.
Ha! First pick! Sorry, kids!
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision?
Okay, here's the plan. Pass me the ball every time.
This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we are back. And we have Neil Peterson, who is running for governor of Ohio. And his book of law is God's Word, the Bible. I'm going to read, Neil, from Acts chapter 5, verse 24. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto would grow. And then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom you put in prison, they're standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, and they set them before the council and the high priest, saying, Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Remember what they were saying when he was on that cross? Let his blood be upon us and our children. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on the tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, and for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them that obey him. Now here's the thing. What they were trying to do there is to stop the church services. Mm-hmm. That's what the government. Now, what do you think happened with this whole COVID thing? What were, you know, they were allowing abortion mills to stay open and liquor houses to stay open and pot houses to stay open. But what do they want to do? They wanted to close the churches. Well, here in Ohio, they didn't close it, but they wanted to limit you to like 10 people. But we paid no attention. In fact, I went on the radio here and I told them very clearly, we're going to obey the word of God. And we're going to be meeting like always, and nothing's going to be different. And so we didn't have any masks. We didn't have any of that. No, none of that socialist separation, whatever. We went on, and we did just fine. And again, the very first person in the church service that morning early was the county constable. And he came in, and I said, Hey, John, you're here early. What's up? And he said, Well, I know you weren't going to obey that, so I just thought I'd stop by and make sure that nobody bothered you.
Well, you know, Ernie, I have the exact course of action, and I want to go back to what I said momentarily ago, that faith is an interesting substance that works in our life, and of course we know faith is really the power of God working through us, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But the reality is it took faith to me. It was easy. I'll be honest with you. Pastor, it was so. I was so indignant that I didn't just say we're not only going to stay open. We stayed open for 2 to 3 weeks straight every single day for a large block of time. In fact,
whoa.
I was so zealous, I called a meeting, and originally I wanted to stay open 24 hours. But we lacked the personnel to do that. And I said, listen, if the hospitals are open, are we not the spiritual hospital? And are we going to cower in the face of fear? And are we not instructed to forsake not the assembly of the brethren, all the more that we see the day approaching? And so we were in a spiritual war, and here is the biggest problem. And I've said this while campaigning, and I am sorry in advance if this is going to offend you, but the church folded like a deck of cards. They were not even instructed to close. They were sure they were intimidated to some level, but they folded. They folded. They complied. They became the mouthpiece. They became the roadmap. They became literally the walking, talking example of government dictates to say, hey, if we're going to tell you to jump, you better jump. If we tell you to close, you better close. And I'll tell you this, there was a level of righteous indignation that rose up inside of me that says, no, not only is this church not going to close, we are going to combat every unlawful order by this dictator, Governor DeWine, that is not only trampling on the Constitution, the enemy is coming after the body of Christ because he already owns the world. He's the prince of this world. And so if he's the prince of this world, make no mistake, this is all to put a squelch on the body of Christ, the remnant, the called out ones, the ecclesia.
Well, it's, you know, we have to, and you're right, because when you were saying that, I was just thinking of Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith.
Yep.
They always, from Genesis to Revelation, they obeyed God. They obeyed God. When, in fact, you know, the three missions that God gives us, first and foremost is the Great Commission. Second is, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resist and failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience. But then the third was to stand fast, to hold to the traditions of the apostles, and not to give up our ground. Occupy until he comes. And so that's what we're to do. And I think you're right. I belong to that little group called the Black Robe Regiment now for many years.
Yes,
and again, I've been, well, let me just say this. For 25 years, Neil, I challenged any three neo-evangelicals to come on my program and debate me on Romans 13, because they always use that as a way of trying to justify not having the courage to stand up against a corrupt government. And Romans 13 means exactly what Romans 13 says, if you don't take it and spin it out of proportion.
Yeah.
And so, and if 25 years... I never got one taker.
No, of course not. Well, Ernie, think about this. Right now you have this false ideology, particularly during times of distress, during times of fear, during times of adversity, times where we have the ability to actually test our faith. Think about this. In the natural realm, Pastor, we are tested all the time. We test our children, the education system tests, and what are the tests there for? To determine the aptitude of the individual so they can be promoted. Well, here's my question, Pastor Ernie. In the time of testing of our faith, in times of adversity, not times of pleasantry, not times of ease of access to everything we need, but in times of adversity, did the church, the capital C church, the body of Christ, did we pass the test? And I don't think I need an answer for you, because I think I know your answer, or maybe I should answer, but yeah. In my opinion, I think we absolutely, unequivocally failed the test. We just folded up. Now, again, I believe by God's grace, because I won't boast in my accomplishments, but I boasted in the Lord. I boasted in the Lord. When you failed to close, when I failed to close, what we were doing is boasting in his sovereign grace that we would not close, nor cower, nor tremble, nor fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so I have a sound mind to know that we have Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that all authority has been given unto us to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. So the word's either true or it's not.
Well, the word is true, but what is the thing that's very, very important in there is having the faith. It's the faith.
I guess that's why it's the faith walk, right?
Yep. You gotta believe. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing, too, because out there today, I mean, you have the Church of Philadelphia, and then you have the Church of Laodicea, which are the country club entertainment centers. But it's an interesting thing because people don't know the apostate church out there today really, literally, is satanic. Whatever God's word, the Bible, calls a sin, they embrace. To hear Joe Biden talk about being a man of faith, it made me sick. I could not believe it. You know, this man, okay, Joe Biden, and I'm going to tell you, he's been a known pedophile. His own daughter said he used to make her take showers with him. That was in her diary. He's been caught, I don't know how many times, and I had some pictures of him that he had a little boy, about 5 year old, had his hands, his face cupped, trying to kiss that little boy on the lips. The man is wicked, as wicked as the day is long. But the Roman Catholic Church, you know, when you had Mario Cuomo promoting, passing, celebrating, they were that legislation in New York that you can kill a baby even after it's born. Even after it's born. And here in Maryland, they just wanted to have their child sacrificed 28 days that they could offer up their child sacrifice to Baal 28 days after it's born. Okay. And so here to watch Mario Cuomo celebrating that wicked, I mean, what a wicked New York State legislator along with Maryland. But here to have that cardinal from New York City there who went from, and when he was asked why Cuomo has not been excommunicated from the church, his response was, well, I don't think it would do any good. It would have been his job to do the excommunicating. And this is the guy that goes on Fox News all the time, and they bring him out and they parade him out as a man of God. But he said he didn't think it would do any good. You know, why is it if it was somebody else that did the same thing that didn't have power and money, he would have been excommunicated. It's such a thing as hypocrisy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Pastor Ernie. It is part of Satan taking a false shepherd, right? It's something that the world would recognize as religious or as one with spiritual authority, but it's nothing more than the doctrine of devils. You know, this is the epitome of a wolf in sheep's clothing. This is the epitome of Satan's pastors. You know, Satan has the ability to masquerade as an angel of light. And so, you know, I think the greatest deception upon the earth, this apostasy that's in the land, is who is God's and who is not. So the Lord says, unless I build my church, it's built in vain, meaning that there's other churches that are not built by him, synagogues of Satan. And so, you know, I think that's all part of the system to obviously pervert and purvey a false message and ideology to your willful listeners that have not the eyes to see and the ears to hear.
So, you know, here we hold to the literal teaching of the Word of God. We hold to the literal teaching. Now, things that are being taught out there, we will not hold to. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize, we're doers of the Word Baptist Church, and only about 10% of those that have that name Baptist in their name are actually Baptist. The vast majority aren't Baptist. They're Protestant. Now, a lot of people don't understand Baptist, actual Baptist, is not a denomination. The Bible does not teach denomination. Actual Baptist actually is a doctrine found in Hebrews 5 and 6. Those that hold to the fundamentals of the faith. That's actual what Baptist is. That's what we hold to in the all the UBF churches. And you'll find all of them that way. I haven't ever been in one of the unregistered Baptist fellowship churches where they didn't hold strictly to the Bible. And on top of that, you know, most of those pastors have ended up going to jail for being out and preaching at the abortion mills or going out. I know there in Columbus where several times we went down when they had the sodomite parades. I mean, that was one of the most ugliest things, the sodomite. And we went and we preached salvation message to them. And at one point, we actually got a group of probably 10, 12 young topless women to take our gospel tracts and read them. They actually stood right there. Well, they walked away about, I would say, 30 feet away from us, and then they stopped, and they got in a circle, and they actually read the tracts. And the reason for that was that here, well, you're going to laugh at this one. Here they came walking over here, and they came up, and I was standing there. Pastor Maness handed me a megaphone, and I was preaching. So this one, she was probably the prettiest. She was a tall and very pretty. Looked like she could have been a model. But she was topless, and she came over, and she held up her breasts. Now, she had chains, you know, like a necklace chain in her nipples. She had chains in her nipples. And she came over, and she held them up, and she said, "I bet you old guys would like some of this." I said, "Not really." I said, "They look booby-trapped to me." And they actually
you came up with that on the fly, Pastor.
Yeah. And so, but they laughed, and it was, you know, that gave me an opportunity. Right then, do you know what came along? The sodomite float. The sodomite float came.
Will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. Now listen, Neil. These guys were gray. They were gray. I mean. And I said, "Take a look over there." And they all turned and they looked. I said, "What do you see?" And they said, "Well, those are the homosexuals." Of course, they call them LGBT. I said, "Now, I want you to think about this. If you were here last year, how many of those that were here last year are not here now? And how many of those that are here right now, they're not going to be here next year? The wages of sin is death. God has said. See, God has said the wages of sin is death. And God says it's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment. Now, you just got the gospel preached to you. And the Bible tells you that the time comes when you're not going to get it anymore. It's too late. Don't run out of tomorrow's today. And so they walked away, and they actually stopped, and every one of them had a track. And they stopped, and they stood there, and they actually read the track. And so God's word does not return void, does it? No.
No.
And
well,
so
you know, Pat. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. You go ahead.
Oh, I was just reflecting on. You know, you depict your ministry. Not depict. I mean, you're just explaining. You know, to your audience. You know, real life stories of the trenches and the warfare and the understanding that all those who desire, I believe in 2 Timothy, to live godly lives will be persecuted. You know, I'm even thinking of Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 9, as the Lord prepares the disciples to go out and to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely you shall give. Well, if you go to the bottom of Matthew 10, he then gives the warning, right? So he gives them the authority, the anointing, right, to do the work that he does. And I think there's a lot of that going on today, right? Understanding that there's a power that God gives and there's a lot of lust for that power. But not an understanding that unless you understand how to die to self, unless you understand how to come under the yoke, right? The Lord said, "Take my yoke upon you," right? My burden is easy. My yoke is light. My burden is easy. So there's a yoke of coming, abiding in Christ, and he abides in you. I say all of this because I believe there's a gross misunderstanding. Now, I have a real heart, Ernie. I know I could come very strong against churchianity and, you know, this false gospel. But I have an intense desire, of course, as you do, being in the streets, to rescue people out of the false indoctrination because they're prisoners of the false gospel. And, you know, there's a high price, just like John the Baptist, just like Christ, just like Saul, just like Peter, just like you understand that, you know, there is a price to pay when the real gospel is preached.
Absolutely. You know what we were talking about early, that there was a fellow, you may have heard, his name was Charles Finney, and he was the president of Oberlin College. Boy, he would not be very happy with Oberlin College today, believe me. But anyhow, here's what he said in a sermon titled The Decay of Conscience, and he preached this in 1873. He said, if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. The public, the press, if the public press lacks moral discernment, then the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, then the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundation of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that is, it's exactly the way he said it would be, and that's exactly what it is today. The corruption is...
As the church goes, so goes the nation. You know, there was, Pastor, listen to this. There was a book that one of my associate pastors was reading. I believe it was called Strong Man is his name. But she said, you got to come in here. You got to come in here very quickly if I could read this. There was a question that said, are the homosexuals really trying to take over or they just misunderstood because of their sin? And this was the response. Let me answer that by giving you a question from some of their own writings. You can then decide what you think about it. This was from 1987, okay? Here's what they said out of their own writing, out of the Gay Community News from February 15, 1987. Here it is. We shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses, in your truck stops, in your all-male clubs, in your houses of Congress, wherever men are with men together. The family unit spawning ground of lies, betrayals, mediocrity, hypocrisy, and violence will be abolished. The family unit, which only dampens imagination and curbs free will, must be eliminated. All churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only God are handsome young men. From the Gay Community News, February 15th, 1987. This is the reality of a declaration that came into fruition when the church failed to get out of their churches and their pews and to get involved into the systems that are not being influenced by godly men and women, the salt and the light of the earth.
No, you're absolutely right. I've been preaching on that for 50 years, and you're right. By the way, LGBTQ, that means lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. That's what that stands for. Because that's what it is, and the queer part they added to themselves before they had the Q on the end. I made
that
up.
They added an I and an A now too.
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm not sure what that one is.
I can't remember it. There's so many letters, but you know that's the epitome of, you know, that sin that is just always evolving. It's never enough. It's just a deep darkness of filth, And, you know, I cannot stress enough, by God's grace, have all of us come out of that depravity. The difference in where it becomes wretched is the LGBTQ, IA, and every other letter known in the alphabet. There is that demonic spirit wants nothing more than to wreak havoc everywhere it goes. It's not something that is even hidden. It's something that wants to take over everything in society. And, I mean, this is the epitome. 1987, that decree, what I just read you, what we're seeing today with the homosexuality of the schools, with the LGBTQ, wanting the transgenderism, you know, all of that taking place, and boys wanting to be in the girls' bathroom because they call themselves girls. This is because the church failed to preach the truth and the real truth, which his name is Jesus, from the pulpit, and to put a harness upon that sin nature, and we've let it run loose.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And this is where, you know, we've always had one position, no compromise, period. No compromise. That's where we started, and that's where we stayed, right there. No compromise, period. Let's open the phone lines and take some calls. So we are going to open the phone lines tonight, folks. We have Neil Peterson. He is running as an independent for governor of Ohio, and he wants to rule or by the word of God, the word of God. And the word of God, if you rule by the word of God, you can do that and still be in compliance with the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Ohio Constitution, can't you? No. And so there's certain things. I just had a letter here just a minute ago when was from Renacy, and Renacy made a statement that they should not be able to teach Satanism in the public school system here in our public schools. I've been teaching all of these years, folks, if you love your kids, if you love them, get them out of the public schools. If you love your children, get them out of there. And when I first started doing that, I was being attacked by the newspapers and the fake news media, saying I was a fire-breathing Baptist and I was anti-children, anti-school. But then a guy named Jim Dobson, he started saying the same thing. If you love your children, get them out of there. And then a fellow named Arian Rogers, and then a guy named, the Presbyterian preacher. And I'm trying to remember his name. We worked with him on that. But when they started saying, all of a sudden, I wasn't so radical. I wasn't the only one preaching on that. And so D. James Kennedy, who I was trying to think of, okay, then all of a sudden, when all of they were saying, now, if you love your kids, and then none other but that old preacher, and boy, I'm having one of my seniors, didn't take my Prevagen today, this morning, but anyhow.
You talked to a lot of people, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673 nationwide. Pardon? Yeah, we'll be back right after this with more.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the America.
Once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. And see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
Sounds like really good advice. And by the way, folks, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, this coming Sunday, we start in the morning with praise and worship at 9 o'clock. But we're starting a little earlier now because we've expanded the Bible study somewhat. But we do an in-depth Bible study, which I teach myself this coming Sunday. And this starts at, well, let's just say at 8:30 Sunday morning. And then we have at 11:15, we have the morning service. And then at 4 in the afternoon, we've been doing a series, Witchcraft is on the Spread. Witchcraft is spreading in Ohio like crazy. It's really on the move. So we're doing a series showing you on witchcraft. And then we're going to be showing the film 2,000 Mules. And by the way, we're going to be having Pledge Week, which is next week. We're going to be giving those out to folks who can donate and give us a pledge for so much, whatever we got to do, and to help us raise money to stay on the air. So, again, that's what's going on. So let's go. And, oh, by the way, that's Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781. That's 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. The phone number is 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367. All right, very good. Now, oh, by the way, before we take a call, Neil, go ahead and give your church a plug.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor Ernie, for the opportunity to be on your great show tonight. It's very interesting because 14781 was your address. Our address is 1478 without the one, but the name of the church I pastor is called Harvest Revival Center, Harvest Revival Center, and our website is harvestrevival.center, and I'm the senior pastor there, and we have a heart for true revival in our land.
Very good. Let's take a call. Surprise, surprise, we got Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. Impressive presentation, Neil. You know, I was looking at Psalm 56, verses 5 to 7, and talking about the surveillance state. And it starts off where every day these people are at it, according to David, marking his steps. And then it finishes off, he says, out of your anger, Lord, cast them down. So he's inferring that the Lord would be angry at these people for harassing him. And that goes along with Psalm 7, where it says that the Lord is angry at the wicked every day. But it's interesting that Psalm 56, every day they are at it, they're relentless. So that's one thing. And I was thinking about the discussion you were just having about the book of Revelation and the churches, where it says, I wish you were either hot or cold rather than being lukewarm. And that's not really talking to these people at these parades. It's really talking to people within the church, that a coldness. But I was thinking lukewarm could be the prosperity preachers.
Well, that's what it is, what he's referring to. They're neither hot nor cold, and that's exactly what they are. They are the prosperity preachers. This is why, if you read it, it couldn't be any clearer than it is.
Yeah, yeah. But also, I would ask Neil about the cost of living. What does he think about, for example, the wood going, you know, what is it, like three times the price? Do you think this stuff is being orchestrated?
Oh, geez.
So, Cliff, thank you for the call. Yeah, and let me comment first about Revelation, the Laodicean church. You know, it's interesting because Laodicean church, they said, hey, we have everything. We're rich. And if you look at the church today, you know, we're the church, right, the capital C, the church is more rich than any other time in history. I mean, you know, even a little country church is going to have, you know, absolute wealth in comparison to any other time in history. But the Lord's response was, you're not rich, you're poor, pitiful, wretched, blind, and naked. Unless you be hot or cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, paraphrase. And that is the reality of the wretchedness of our thought process that, you know, we've obtained our wealth, that we're gauging whether the church is, you know, abundant or successful, right, by worldly standards, because it's got millions in their building or their bank or their show. And the Lord says it clearly, you're poor, pitiful, wretched, blind, and naked. I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. As it relates to cost of living, I am no stranger to the understanding that not only are we confronting a true new world order, and it was even Biden that recently, again, used that exact phraseology, but this is part of their build back better. Well, you don't build back anything unless it's first destroyed. And so everything from our currency to the inflation, you just saw that Biden, even yesterday or this morning, you know, he denied the lease in Alaska to sell these oil leases that we can drill for oil. All oil's at all time high. Gas prices average $4.40 or something like that a gallon. Inflation all time highs. Baby formula can't get to it. Grocery prices all time high. The cost of living, lumber, 3-4 times the cost. Well, this is part of the systematic collapse of society. And, you know, once upon a time, maybe when Pastor Ernie was saying this kind of stuff, he was a little cuckoo. The average person knows that Biden is an empty shell and he is filled with demonic power to usurp the authority of that great office to destroy America. He is not about you, Cliff. He's not about me. He is about destroying the abundance because he is a wicked king. He would be categorized as a king that did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. What do you think, Pastor Ernie?
Absolutely. He's evil for the, you know, to the core. And not only that, but he's Obama is pulling his strings, and that's been, you know, and Obama let us know that that would happen when he said, I remember listening to Obama saying, if he had his druthers, he would like to be able to set somebody out there and then put earphones on them and give them instructions from the base. Now, he told you what he would do and instruct them from his basement on what to say. They actually like doing this. They like playing, and that's exactly what Biden's doing. He's following his instructions. They're trying to keep him awake and trying to keep him, I don't know how much longer, but I do know this. This country will not survive another year of him. He's destroying this country quickly, and so we have to pray, and we have been praying here that God would remove him and all of those that hate life, hate God. And so, anyhow, bring them to repentance. The Lord Jesus said, repent or perish. There you go. No others. Repent or perish. All right. Thanks, Cliff. Got to move on. We have
Thank
Bob.
You,
Bob, you're in here.
Hey, my brothers in Christ. How you doing? Real quick question. I mean, it's not really.
We're okay, Bob.
Well, not a quick question. It's a statement. There should be more people advocating because these people want to murder, you know, the children at 28 days old. Why don't we start putting it out there that they're trying to do this when there are people, good people, that cannot have a baby on their own and are willing to adopt these beautiful children?
They could care less about that. What they want to do, they're trying to provoke a war. They're wanting to start a war. This is why, look, I've been telling you, haven't I been telling you, since Biden's been in office, he has been bringing in men of fighting age, by buses at night. He's been busing them into to cities all over this country, some of them way out in the country. These are sleeper cells. Biden has created these sleeper cells, so when he gives them the word, it's not like it's a secret that nobody knows. And then when he gives them the word, they start burning down cities, and he wants to be able to try to justify declaring martial law. They know they cannot win an honest, fair election. They can't do that. They know that, and so they've got to stop the election somehow. And by the way, they've got a whole brand new bunch of COVID coming in for November.
Oh yeah, we all know about that.
All righty, thanks.
That wild side I did. Have a blessed night.
Thank you, Bob.
You too. God bless. All righty. Let me see. We have Hannah. Hannah, you're in the air. No, Jan, you're in the air. Jan,
Hi.
You're in the air, Jan.
Sanders, you know, the term I've heard often is we are, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you agree that that is a situation with everyone who has not absolutely rejected God, that their body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?
Well, it's not that you have to rejected God. It's that you have received him. If you've been born again, then your body does become the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay. What I'm thinking is, I think a lot of people would have their perception of Jesus is when he went to the temple and there were the money changers were in there. Their perception would be that Jesus would have said, oh, you know, I really would prefer that you do this somewhere else. And they would have made an excuse and said, well, we make our money here. That's the Jesus they see. Actually, what Jesus did was upset the tables and accused them of desecrating his Father's temple. Now, I'm thinking, are babies temples of the Holy Spirit?
Babies are children of God, and God makes it very, very clear. Yeah, in the womb, okay, he makes it very, very clear that you'd be better off if you'd never been born, or to have a millstone which weighs 4,000 pounds wrapped around your neck and thrown into the ocean than to harm one of the children. And so, but then he also has a message for those women that do that. And you find that message over there if you go over to Jeremiah. And in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 34, here's what he says. I'll be there in just 1 second, I think. Okay, here you go. He says, also, in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. Now here, I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. In other words, he is telling them that he didn't have to look upon their hearts. It's their actions that made them condemn them. These are the bloody people and who sacrificed the children. Mm-hmm. And so these women that go in there and sacrifice their children. And, you know, here's the worst part. You know, Neil, where they want to keep these babies. People think that, well, you can keep a baby alive for 28 days. They sell these babies born alive. They sell these babies for huge amounts of money. They dissect them and take their organs out while they're alive. Democrats will do it. There's no end to the wickedness. There is no end to their... They have absolutely, well, I don't... Just no end to their wickedness. What do you think?
Well, go ahead.
Oh, well,
no, I was...
Jen, I didn't know if you were responding, and then I'll respond.
Okay. Well, the comparison I wanted to make, but I guess it's not really appropriate, that an abortionist is like they're desecrating the temple of God by destroying this baby.
But you'll find the answer to that in Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, verse 5 through 7. And so, you know, when God gave us the divine institution of human government, real government, legitimate, he gave us 5 points to that. And the third point was the most important point. The third point was the entire purpose of divine human government, of legitimate human government, and that was to preserve the image of God, that being man. And so he had given you already 3 times and said to that point, be fruitful and multiply. So what's happened when they do that, they transgress God's dominion. It's like you've broken into God's house, and that's not a good thing because you're not going to get away with it. All right, I got to move on, but thank you. Go ahead, and you can respond to her. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jen, thank you. A couple quick things. There was a lot there. You mentioned, you know, we are the temple. You know, Jesus had several mysteries when he began to answer, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They didn't understand that at the time. They thought they were talking about the temple of Solomon. In reality, he was talking about the temple made not in the hands of human hands, but made by the hands of God. And so when we're made in the image and the likeness of God, we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And so that body is the container of which God obviously designed for us to walk in as we worship in spirit and truth. And so it's this house. Right, it's the mystery, it's the revelation of understanding that the temple, the temple of Solomon, was always a prototype of really first what was in heaven, but also it was a symbolic type and shadow of we made in God's image and likeness. And so abortion, 100%, you're not only killing the temple, because you cannot kill the spirit. And that spirit returns back to everlasting because, you know, the wages of sin is death to this body, but, you know, we're eternal beings. And so, yes, it's absolutely destruction. And one last thing in regards to that, too, about a child. You know, Jesus said, unless you become like a child, right, that's that faith that we come to him as a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, you know, we have a lot to learn from children, the innocence that the Lord places upon a child, which is the purity, not only how we're to walk with the Lord, but also the trust. And when you begin to kill that innocence. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It doesn't mean that the Lord does not have grace and mercy, because many of these women, most of them, they have been lied to, they have been blinded, and the Lord has abundance of mercy and grace, you know, when we understand that we have transgressed against the Lord. But right
That's
now,
right.
The very act of it is a complete transgression, and the iniquity cup is about to fill up.
Well, you're not kidding. Neil, you got 3 minutes to tell folks how they can get to heaven and stay out of hell. Give an invitation.
Okay. Here we go. Well, first off, Ernie, thank you so much for the great opportunity to be on your show. My message as running for governor is secondary, and I should say most forever secondary, that the greatest opportunity that we have in this lifetime is the souls of man. And when you understand really at the heart of every man and woman who's running as a public servant, even though that's hard to find these days, these are people in its entirety that should be using the same model that Jesus did, which is the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom. You want to be first, you must be last. You want to go higher, you must go lower. We need to learn how to wash feet. But what America needs today and what Ohio needs today is we need the power of God to transform lives. The message of freedom is so well received, but really the only person that can set you free is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of your life, and he needs to be the Lord of your life, because until you answer the call and understand that the weight of your sin, the weight of your depression, the weight of your bondage, until you learn that he is the deliverer, he is the savior, he is the one and the only one that can take you out of your bondage and take you in to everlasting freedom. And when we understand that Christ is the one that came to set us free, then and only then, when we understand the power of his grace and his freedom, then we can understand what it truly means to be a free man. So everyone's talking about freedom and liberty, but Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I'm talking fast, as he unscrolled Isaiah chapter 63, unrolled the scroll, it says, today I've come to liberate the captives. I've come to give sight to the blind. I've come to bring deliverance to, I'd have to read the scripture, but the whole premise is the Lord has come to set us free. And that's the message that Ohio needs, and that is certainly the message that America needs. We need to be freed only by King Jesus.
Amen. There's nothing that will mean as much to everyone listening to us tonight. The time will come when the only thing that will matter to them is their standing with the Lord. It's not a tragedy to die. We're all going to die for sure, but to die in your sin, you don't want to run out of tomorrow's tonight. So what Pastor Neil said, folks, right there, tonight would be the night for you to call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus said, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of sin, ask the Lord to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. And if you do that, you'll be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. You've got God's word on it, and God always honors his word. We're out of time now. Neil, I want to thank you so much for being here. And at this time, every night when we get to this point, we're saying good night, God bless, and always, always, let's do it. Keep fighting the fight.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.